John chapter 10 and verse 1. It's a very familiar passage. We continue with the theme of the shepherd and the sheep. And we're going to read in John 10 verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Last Lord's Day morning, we were thinking about the permanence of our relationship in Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a joy to know the truth of those words. A declaration that is positive. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. David speaking about the goodness and mercy of God. In his goodness, he speaks about God's watching over us, watching out for us, his constant, continual care, interested in every detail of our well-being, and in his mercy not giving us what our sin deserves. Instead of punishing us, he pardons us. And then beyond all of that, David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew not only would God's goodness and mercy follow him all the days of his life, but the time would come when he would be in the presence of God. Beloved, sometimes in this old world we get discouraged. Sometimes we lose sight of home. Sometimes we lose our focus. And it's good for us to be reminded time and time again that this old world is not our home. One of these days we'll go home and we'll be with Christ in glory. We'll see him as he is. We shall be like him. And thank God we'll be with him throughout the countless ages of eternity. Having looked at Psalm 23, having looked at the shepherd's care of the sheep, we're going to continue to look at this theme of the shepherd and sheep as we come here to John 10 this morning and to these verses that I've read to you about the good shepherd. The Lord Jesus in John 10 is drawing a contrast between himself as the good shepherd and the false shepherds who were leading the people astray. Now, in the context of the verses, Jesus has just exposed the Pharisees for their continuing hypocrisy. It's shown that they had no real interest in the needs of the people. They were the so-called religious leaders of the day, but they themselves were spiritually blind. And Jesus takes this theme, the shepherd and the sheep, it's something that the people could very easily have identified with. And Jesus knew the hearts of the people better than the Pharisees did. They were like sheep without the shepherd. They were wandering aimlessly and tirelessly through life with no real purpose and without an eternal hope. They were helpless, being led by false shepherds who themselves didn't know the real way. You know, the years have passed. Generations come and they go, and you and I will come and go with them. But the need of the human heart remains the same. People are still like sheep without a shepherd. It would break your heart. People are still wanderingly aimless, say, from one thing to another, looking for some kind of purpose and satisfaction, and at the end of the day, no real aim in life. They're helpless. And they're hopeless. And if you forget everything I've said this morning, remember this. Somebody needs to help them. Somebody needs to help them. When we come to this relationship here in John 10, continuing our thought about the shepherd and his sheep, I'm going to mention three very simple things. As far as our relationship with the shepherd is concerned, this is a special relationship. It's a special relationship. We must remember that in Bible times, the shepherd had sole responsibility for the sheep. It was his responsibility to keep them safe. He had to protect them from robbers, from wild animals. It was his responsibility to make sure that they were fed and well cared for. And that's why day after day, he would lead them to those fresh pastures where they would find everything that they needed for their daily supply. And of course, if a sheep was killed, the shepherd would either have to bring home some kind of evidence that the sheep was dead, or he himself would have to provide for the sheep that was missing. In the context of all of this, Jesus exposes the Pharisees for their treatment, but then he says this. He says, in the light of them and all that you see by way of character, I want you to know that I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. We'll not go back into the Old Testament to think of those two first words, I am, which were to speak about his deity and in a title that was attributed to God. But he cared for these people in the awful state they were in. He was concerned about their deep spiritual need. He was moved with compassion toward them. And this word good, used in the original, it is rich in meaning. It gives us a lovely picture of Christ. Speaking of efficiency, fidelity, loveliness, beauty, strength, and power, all of these things in the person of Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of his sheep. But I want to tell you four very simple things in passing about this. Look at John 10 for a moment in verses 2 to 4. Listen to this, because this ought to thrill our souls today. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter or watchman openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Here's the first thing. He called them by name. He called them by name. In Bible times, that was not strange. The shepherd would know every individual sheep. He would know them intimately. He would know distinctive things about them. He'd be aware of their needs and natures. And that's why he would come to the sheepfold every morning as they started out together, and he would call his sheep by name. Here's the second thing. He led them out. He led them out. He'd lead them out from the sheepfold. And as they were all assembled together, he would run his eye over every single one of them, especially those that were weak and weary and wounded, those who had been in the battles perhaps days before, those who had been subject to the attacks of wild animals. He would run his eye over them. He would count them. He'd make sure that none of them were missing. He would check them over, attend to them before they started out for the day. He made sure everything was in order and everything was under his control. Here's the third thing. He put forth his own sheep. The emphasis here is very simple. Only his own sheep would hear his voice and respond. Only his own sheep would follow him and respond to his leading. They would never respond to the voice of the stranger because his voice was so familiar to them. And the fourth thing, he goes before them and his sheep follow him. Isn't that lovely? He goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. That was something that was coveted in Palestine and in other areas. Over here, when someone moves sheep from one field to another, you'll see what we do over here. You'll find someone at the front of the sheep and they're walking. You'll find perhaps one or two at the back and they're driving them. You'll find one or two sheep dogs, and unfortunately sometime you'll find a car in the middle of the sheep. That's what happens over here. But in Palestine, the shepherd simply went to the front of the flock, and there as he walked, he led them. They weren't driven, they were led. And the shepherd walked in front of them, they put their eyes on him, they followed him wherever he led, and they trusted him implicitly. Because the shepherd knew what was best for them. Beloved, when you think about that this morning, remember this. Because this is encouragement for all of us in the family of God today. He knows every one of us by name. We are not strangers to him. We're not strangers to him. Christian and I were in a shop the other day when a lady came up and she said, "Hello, Pastor Taylor, how are you?" I said, "Well, I'm doing fine, thanks," as I looked at her. And then she continued with the conversation, asking various questions, making various comments. For about 10 minutes, and I very carefully answered as I could. And at the end of the conversation, we shook hands and she parted. And then Christian said to me, "Who is that woman?" I said, "I don't know. I don't know." And I didn't know her. And I still don't know her. Sometimes we refer to that as a senior moment. But the fact of the matter is, I just did not remember her, not even her face. That never happens with Christ and us. He knows each one of us by name. He deals with us as individuals. He knows our faults and our fears, our failures, our frustrations. He knows our needs. He knows our natures. Every single detail of our lives is known to him today. Every one of them. Thank God every day, if we're willing to start it out with him, he goes before us. He goes before us. That's why we should never start out every day or any day without having committed ourselves to the Lord for the day ahead. You say, "But Pastor, I have my quiet time at night." I understand that. But before you get out of the car or before you leave the house, whatever, just to say, "Lord, I commit my ways to you today. For whatever happens, you'll know best. Whatever I'm going to face, Lord, you know all about it. So therefore, help me put my hand in thine, lest I miss a vital sign, a turning to the left or right. Walk with me and be my sight." He goes before us, preparing the way, knows the best paths for us, knows the best places, knows the right decisions. He knows absolutely everything. And that's why it's essential that all of us keep close to the shepherd daily. Daily. Missionary doctor was lying in his bed fast asleep one night in a remote village in China. He was awakened out of his sleep by loud knocking on the front door. And although he was frightened, he made his way to the door and he opened it. And when he looked down, two small boys were standing on his doorstep and he recognized them immediately. He knew that they were two little children from a missionary school in a village some 10 miles away. He brought them inside. He said to them, "What are you doing here at this time of the night?" They said, "Sir, we have come to seek help for our teacher because she is not well." They said, "But look outside, it's pitch black. Were you not afraid to come all this way on your own?" And one of the little boys, smiling, said, "Sir, at the start we were very afraid. But the teacher needed a doctor and we knew that Jesus would go before us." Simple. Childlike faith.
struggling this morning because you're not walking behind him, you're running on ahead of him? You're struggling this morning because you're not prepared to follow the way that the Lord wants you to go. You're going to do things your own way. That's when the difficulties come. That's when the struggles increase. It's important to follow the shepherd daily. This is a very special relationship. The second thing is, this is a saving relationship. You know, not only does the Lord Jesus Christ know us and he knows us through and through, but he still loves us and died to save us from our sins. Look at what we read in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now, we've got to put that into context and remember what Jesus has in his mind. A shepherd may well have been a good shepherd. He may have had the best interests of the sheep at heart. He'd look after them. He'd go to certain lengths in order to protect them. There were times when they were subject to attack and their lives were under threat. He would do everything he could to save them. But he would not put his own life on the line for the good of the rest of the sheep. Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, viewed it differently. He said, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. He voluntarily gave his own life for the sheep. He says, I'm prepared to die that they might live. I'm willing to give myself and even pour out my own soul unto death. I'm willing to die instead of them because I am the good shepherd. He's speaking here about his atonement. He's reminding us at the same time of the cost of our salvation. He's reminding us of his sacrificial and substitutionary death on the cross on our behalf. He's reminding us today that he was willing to go to the cross and carry our sin with him there. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Brother or sister in Christ this morning, remember this, because some of us are prone to forget it. You and I are not our own because we have been bought with a price. That means he has every right to lead us. That means he has every right to change our direction. That means he has every right to cut across our grain and interrupt our plans and sometimes change our attitudes and change the purposes we have in life. He has the right to do that because he owns us. He has bought us with his own precious blood. There were those of his day who said, I will not have this man to rule over me. And there are some people today who claim to be Christians and they're saying the same thing. Even though they profess to be Christians, they're saying the same thing. Because they want to hold on to the reins of their lives and tell Jesus what they want him to do. It's a matter today of Jesus telling me what he wants me to do. You're bought with a price. Stories told of an ungodly traveler who was speaking on one occasion to a young converted Indian. He was trying to sell this young Indian his wares, but all the young Indian could do was talk to him about his faith in Jesus Christ. Every time he produced another piece of equipment, the Indian would talk about the Savior. Every time he talked about a business transaction, the Indian talked about the Savior. And one day in frustration, the traveler said to the young Indian, why do you speak so much about Christ? What did he ever do for you? The young Indian man took a worm that he found in the ground.
He made a little bed of leaves. He placed the worm in the bed of leaves and he proceeded to light the leaves with a match. Very soon the leaves were on fire. The heat was increasing. The worm was writhing in agony, making every attempt to escape but couldn't. And just when it seemed that the worm was going to perish in the flames, the Indian reached down and lifted it, set it to the ground and set it free. He turned around and he said to that traveler, "Sir, I was once like that worm. I was perishing. I was hopeless and helpless and dying in my sin. I was on the brink of eternal fire when the Lord Jesus Christ stepped in and he reached down and he lifted me and he delivered me." He said, "Sir, that's why I speak so much about Christ." I was singing coming down in the car, "When you're on your own, you can do that." I was singing this morning, "Love lifted me. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me." Here's the Lord Jesus saying, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, purchased us with his own precious blood as he died on the cross, was buried and rose again from the dead. We're not our own today. We're bought with a price, child of God." Does Calvary still warm your heart the way it used to? When you sit down and you read through the scriptures and you come across these great texts that pertain to your salvation, does it still bring you to tears? Does it cause you to be lost before him in wonder and in love and in praise? Does it cause you from within to shout out, "Hallelujah, what a Savior"? I have a great fear today that many of us have lost sight of the wonder of it all. When I was a child, I used to live near a little river called Tullock. It's not a little river, it was a big river to me as a young boy. And I remember we used to go up every afternoon and we would sneak out with our bathing trunks and we'd get into the river and we'd swim around if it wasn't too cold, and I would hold on to the branch at the edge, couldn't swim. And then when we changed, we would stand and we'd go and get a lump of wood. And we'd go up to the top of the river and we would throw the wood in and we'd watch the wood coming down the river and we followed it its whole course down and all it did was just float on the top of the river. And there are some Christians today and they're just floating like the wood in the river. Let's not get too emotional, Pastor. Don't be getting too excited about Calvary. Why not? Why not? I was the worm that was perishing. I was the one standing on the verge of hell. Love lifted me, and I've every right to shout and sing about it, and so have you. When was the last time you spoke to a neighbor or a friend about Christ? When was the last time you sat down having rapped the door to someone you've known for years, you've prayed for, and like the Indian, that you've turned around and told them what Jesus has done for me? It's a challenge, isn't it? Some of you today are here, you're not saved. You know, the tense of these words that are used here in the emphasis speak about substitution, and they lead us to the place called Calvary. And I want to remind you today, if you're not saved, that the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for your sin, to take your place, to bear the punishment due to you for your sin. He hung and he suffered and he bled and he died and he did all of it so that you could be set free
saved, forgiven, pardoned by a God today who has every right to punish you and banish you from his presence. Ah, but Christ has died that you might live. Do you ever think about that?
Pastor, I have far more pressing things in life to consider than this. I hope you remember that. When you stand on the verge of eternity and you're dying without Christ, I hope you remember that.
This is a special relationship. This is a saving relationship. This is a secure relationship, and I take you to the end of the chapter. We didn't read it today, but turn for a moment to verse 27. Look at John 10, verse 27 for a moment. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. For me, these words sum up everything that John 10 is about. Three words. Our identification. Jesus says, I know them. I know them. You could be sitting here this morning, downcast in spirit, brokenhearted, weary with life, feeling like throwing in the towel, wanting to run to the hills for cover. You could be going through the most dreadful, terrible time you've ever experienced. You're saying to yourself, does anybody know? I know them, Jesus says. You his child this morning? He knows all about you. Cares for you. He knows every need. He knows every pain. He knows every heartache. He knows every struggle. He feels every tear. I know them. Our identification, our obedience. Jesus says of his sheep, they follow me. They follow me. Sometimes they may follow afar off, but they still follow him. Sometimes they have to follow him through thick and thin. Sometimes they have to follow even when they don't know where he's leading. Sometimes they have to step out in faith and put their hand in his and simply acknowledge, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness and all I've got to do is follow. And I say, but Lord, make it clear to me. And he says, follow me. And I say, Lord, but I want to see the end of this. And he says, follow me. Follow me. Sometimes the things that we purpose to do in life and we wonder why we don't do them and perhaps God isn't interested in taking us on, it's sometimes because we want to see too much of the way ahead and God wants to prove our faith and simply says, follow me. Our identification, our instruction, our security. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's why we sing hymns like, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. That's why we quote verses like, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Nothing can separate us from God's love. No one can snatch us from the Father's hand. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You feel at times you're hanging on by a thread, spiritually? Thank God he's holding you. And he'll never let you fall. And he'll never let you go. Or you might at times feel that you're falling. You might at times feel that you're stretching this cord, but you know you're held continually by his omnipotent hand. Man one day was lowered onto a large rock face off the Scottish coast.
He had drawn the short straw and he was sent down to this rock that was used to send signals to approaching ships that they might steer past the rocks and be steered safely into the harbor. The electronic signal had broken down. And this man was brought down and lowered onto the rocks, and he was connected to the rock safely. And in the bad weather, he stood to help the ships in order that he might save lives. There were times when great waves were crashing in around him, and he could see them coming as they engulfed him and covered the rock. And he stood soaked to the skin and fearful for his life. There were times he thought he was going to be washed away in the swell of the wave. When the brother picked up and the storm was past, a helicopter came and he was airlifted again safely away from the rock. And when he returned back again to the station, the men said to him, Johnny, were you not scared as you stood out there in the rocks? He said, to tell you the truth, there were times my legs trembled. But he said the rock didn't tremble once. I knew before that the rock was solid. But I never knew how solid until I was called to stand on it. You're standing today in the rock, Christ Jesus, and I can tell you he's immovable. Immovable. You're as safe and secure in Christ today as you would be if you were in heaven itself. For no ill can harm me and no foe will harm me, for he keeps both day and night. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. This is a special relationship. He calls us. He leads us. He puts us forth, he goes before us. This is a saving relationship. He has pardoned us, purchased us with his own blood. And this is a secure relationship. For with all our hearts today, we can believe and know that he who has saved us and he who keeps us will one day bring us safely home. Safely home. Any wonder we often sing, and we'll sing it this morning, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. On the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide. Let's bow for a moment, then we'll sing that hymn together. Let's just bow for a moment quietly. Our Father, today we thank you for such a wonderful Savior, for such a great salvation, and for such a caring shepherd. And we pray that we might learn, each of us daily, to walk with him, to follow him along the way, and to seek, our Father, enabled by your grace, to live continually in obedience to him. When the dark days come and the difficulties arise, may we always know that he knows the way that we take. So bless your word to us, we pray this morning, and encourage our hearts for Jesus' sake.